This is a Kim Monson, Colorado news briefing. Johnson says House Bill 261430 fits a Colorado pattern of legislating around voters. Former State Representative Ramey Johnson, a Colorado Union of Taxpayers board member, told The Kim Monson Show that the road funding bill is the latest entry in a 30-year pattern of legislative end runs around voter passed measures. Primary source review of Tabor Enterprises, Proposition 11-7, and the 2026 Sessions tax bills supports the broader claim. Ramey Johnson, a former Colorado state representative and a board member of the Colorado Union of Taxpayers, told The Kim Monson Show on Thursday that House Bill 261430 is a very dangerous precedent. Her argument was not narrowly about transportation. If a bill can be drafted to neutralize a citizen initiative before voters cast a single ballot, she said, anytime people at the ballot pass anything, the state legislature can go in and nullify it, which is really, it's violating our democratic process. That framing puts House Bill 261430 inside a longer story. For three decades, primary source records show, the Colorado General Assembly has rerouted, restructured, or preempted voter passed measures through enterprise carve-outs, fee-not tax reclassifications, sub-threshold splits, and contingent trigger drafting. On what the bill does, in brief. House Bill 261430 cuts the state gasoline excise tax, the special fuel tax, the road usage fee, and certain registration fees from January 1, 2027 through July 1, 2030, but only if voters approve a constitutional initiative on transportation funding at the November 2026 election. The bill's effective date language tracks the language of the official ballot title for Initiative 175. The Kim Monson Show covered the bill's structure and prime sponsors in its May 6 report. On Johnson's argument, Johnson said her objection was procedural before it was fiscal. She said it's disrespecting the will of the Colorado voters, for one thing, but it will decrease your Tabor refunds. It means our votes are nullifying. The bill, she added, is a very dangerous precedent that the state legislature is setting. Of the four Prime Initiative 175 opponents she named on the air, all four matched the Public Coalition Reporting, the Bell Policy Center, the Colorado Center on Law and Policy, Sierra Club Colorado, and the Colorado Education Association. On the pattern, anchored to primary documents, the arc begins with Tabor. In 1992, Colorado voters added Article 10, Section 20 to the state constitution, capping state revenue growth and requiring voter approval to raise taxes. Tabor also defined an enterprise as a government-owned business issuing revenue bonds and receiving less than 10% of its annual revenue from state and local grants. Enterprise revenue sits outside Tabor's cap. As the Kim Monson Show previously documented, citing Common Sense Institute analysis, enterprise fee revenue grew from $742 million in fiscal 1994 to $25.8 billion by fiscal 2024, and the share of state spending exempt from Tabor rose from 46% in 1996 to 74% by fiscal 2024. A second inflection came in 2017. Senate Bill 17-267 repealed the existing hospital provider fee, which had been pushing the state past its Tabor refund cap, and created the Colorado Healthcare Affordability and Sustainability Enterprise. The conversion happened by statute, with no statewide vote. A third came with Proposition 117. Voters passed the measure in 2020 to require statewide voter approval of any new state enterprise projected to collect more than $100 million in its first five fiscal years, codified at CRS 24-77-108. The next year, SB 21-260, the legislature's omnibus transportation funding bill, created or restructured five new state enterprises in a single act, each below the $100 million Proposition 117 threshold during its first five fiscal years. The 2026 session has produced two more entries. House Bill 261418, the Youth Mental Health Services Access Enterprise Act, creates a new state enterprise, funded by a 5% fee on online gaming microtransactions. As the Kim Monson Show's April coverage documented, The bill text states that the enterprise will generate revenue from fees of less than $100 million total in its first five fiscal years. Accordingly, the creation of the enterprise does not require voter approval pursuant to Section 24-77-108. The bill writes its own answer to the Proposition 117 question. House Bill 26-1419, the Tabor Refund Recalculation Bill, passed the House 41-21 on April 30. On April 28, the House voted down Republican floor amendments that would have referred the act to voters at the November 2026 election. The bill carries a safety clause, which under Colorado constitutional law shields it from a citizen referendum petition. The Kim Monson Show covered that vote in detail. On what the bill actually does on late fees. Current law at CRS 42-3-112 sets the vehicle registration late fee at $25 for each month or portion of a month. The vehicle is unregistered, capped at $100. Section 7 of House Bill 26-1430 adds a new subsection 1.6, which states that on and after January 1, 2027, and before July 1, 2030, the late fee is set at $15.50. For each month or portion of a month, the vehicle is unregistered, capped at $62. The bill cuts the late fee inside the contingent 3.5-year window. The cut is part of the package of registration fee reductions. The bill calibrates to offset road funding revenue. Initiative 175 would dedicate to roads. On where the bill stands. By Wednesday, May 6, House Bill 26-1430 had cleared the House Appropriations Committee and won preliminary approval on the House floor at second reading. Final House passage was scheduled for Thursday morning. Governor Gyropoulos' office signaled support through a spokesperson who said the governor would back a bill to cut taxes and save Coloradans money. The 2026 session ends Wednesday, May 13. Tony Milo, president and CEO of the Colorado Contractors Association, the campaign behind Initiative 175, told Johnson the day before that the campaign would not withdraw the initiative. If we were to pass a statutory measure, Milo told the Colorado Sun in a separate interview, we have no confidence that the General Assembly won't just reverse it. We felt like we had to go to the Constitution to get it locked in. As of May 5, Initiative 175 supporters reported they had collected approximately 75% of the signatures needed to qualify for the ballot. The statutory deadline is May 27. CUT, where Kim Monson serves as president, has announced opposition to House Bill 26-1430 through its CUT Engaged Advocacy Program. Johnson sits on the CUT board. She said the next move, if the legislature presses ahead and Initiative 175 reaches the ballot, may be in court. Johnson said she would hope, if they actually decide to implement this and if there's enough signatures and it goes on the ballot, that there'd be a lawsuit, frankly. We're looking at what to watch. Three dates structure the rest of the fight. The House final reading vote on Thursday, the Initiative 175 signature deadline on May 27, and the general election on November 3. Johnson said she hopes listeners are listening to all of this when they get to the ballot in November. All of the House is up for re-election. And now, Kim's perspective. Article 5, Section 1 of the Colorado Constitution reserves to the people the power to enact laws and to approve or reject any act of the legislature at the polls. That clause is the floor under self-government in this state. When a bill is drafted to take effect only if voters pass an initiative the legislature opposes, calibrated to cancel out the fiscal effect of that vote, what is being protected is institutional power. Ramey Johnson named it on Thursday morning. The voice of the people is supposed to be the final word in Colorado, and right now the legislature keeps writing one more sentence after. This article is available at kimmonson.com. For the full article with sources and links, visit kimmonson.com. This has been a Kim Monson, Colorado News Briefing.